Welcome all. We're turning, please, to the hymn 156. 156. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah, sons of men and angels say. Hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah. Why sing this only at Easter time? This is a hymn we can sing any Lord's Day and any day of the week. 156, please. We'll stand to worship. Turning back to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Well, I don't need to persuade you that fall has come, and those who work in your gardens, or perhaps those that are producing food, whatever quantities, harvest has come. When I was arriving into Indianapolis last Monday evening, it was still daylight, and I was able to look out the aircraft window and look over, well, for most of the much of the journey, over vast prairies. But coming a little lower and nearer into Indianapolis, I was able to look out and see the harvest fields that were truly white unto harvest. And here and there in various fields you could see just a little cloud of dust. And as I sought to focus in on that, I could see through the dust combine harvester at work. And obviously the farmers there are busy bringing in their harvests. I was met at the airport by a young man who attends the church in Indianapolis, and he's a truck driver, and a lot of his trucking is to take grain from the elevators in the country to the mills and for processing. So there again I was reminded of the harvest. And then through the week at the meals that were provided, there was an abundance of corn. And they had it on this simmering pan, and it was loose corn. Maize, I suppose it is called in some quarters. In England, corn is of a slightly different variety. But here in North America, corn is very abundant. Now, what a faithful God we have. Year in, year out, seasons come and go, and we are provided for. And each year the farmers sow the seed, and a like harvest is produced. We don't expect that when we sow corn that you get beans or potatoes. Whatever the farmer sows, that is what he will reap in whatever measure the harvest brings in. And spiritually, of course, it is exactly the same. The Bible says, as we read in Galatians 6, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We reap in like as we sow. And today I want to revisit the life of Manasseh and give warning that the life that he lived for the most of his earthly days, as we have learned, was a life of great wickedness. And God had mercy on him as an older man. And for a number of years, he was able to gain a testimony of being a man living for God. He was a reformer. We learned of the walls that he built. We learned of the commandment that went out to Judah that they should serve the Lord and not idols that he had been guilty of creating in his past life. We noted in verse 9 that this man did worse than the heathen. He sowed seeds of evil. He worshipped Satan. He entered into witchcraft and sorcery. He carved idols, and he caused Judah and others to worship and serve heathen gods. He was a father who led his own son, and perhaps other children that we may know not about in the scripture here, but he certainly led his son Amon into evil ways. But the tragedy is that while Manasseh found the Lord and found mercy and changed his ways, that the seeds of evil that he sowed through his years of sinfulness brought forth an evil harvest in the life of his son Ammon. And I want to speak pretty directly to fathers here today and to all parents, because Manasseh's life ought never to be an excuse. Well, I will live for evil, I'll have my own way for whatever number of years, and then at the end, I can find mercy, as Manasseh did. I can clean up my life and live with God in heaven. Well, we learn here, this is a message for fathers to cause you to flee to Christ early in life. Because every day that you live out of Christ, every day that you live on the side of prodigal living, you are sowing seeds of evil that will bring forth a harvest of evil. And even if, in great mercy at the end of your life, you do find mercy with God, and you are delivered from sin and all its consequences, and from hell itself, yet like Manasseh, you may leave behind a legacy of an awful harvest that will be reaped by many others. And in Manasseh's case, his own son Ammon. We want to look at Ammon today and just discover the harvest that came forth from his father's evil sowing. A harvest that younger Ammon reaped and paid the ultimate price. You'll see here that the harvest of Manasseh's evil sowing became his son's evil reaping. Now here was an older man, Manasseh, who had a late son. We talked last week about the extension he had to life for 15 years, that it was 3 years into that that Manasseh was born, because he was 12 years old when he became king. And so, those years of Ammon growing up, many of them were in the practice of idolatry, witchcraft, sorcery, and bloodshed, as he watched his father's example. Now his father was saved in great mercy. What a tremendous testimony to the power of the gospel in Manasseh's life. And when he called out in affliction, when he was taken off to Babylon, God heard him and had mercy on him, as he will have mercy on all who cry and call out for mercy. He was saved himself, but as we note, he left behind a legacy that could not be turned around in every case of his influence, even though for a short while he sought to be a reformer at the end of his life. There is a harvest to reap from a life of evil. In verse 22, you'll notice that Ammon reaped the harvest of his father's evil practices. It says here, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. As did his Manasseh his father. It goes on to say that Ammon sacrificed unto all, now notice, all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. And so while Manasseh was converted, and while he was on to glory through a tremendous power of salvation, the seeds of the images that he carved, either with his own hands or those that he commissioned to be carved, and those idols that he commanded his people to worship, his own son Ammon, even after his departure from this world, is now bowing down to and worshipping heathen gods. This is the evil harvest of Manasseh's life. You see, we walk very much in our father's footsteps. Like the man who went to on a Saturday evening to the public house to drink and booze. And as the snow was falling lightly, he turned at the door where he was entering in to drink away the evening and drink away his senses. He looked back and he saw his little boy coming down the hill, putting his feet into the very steps that his father had walked to that place of drinking and boozing. And Father, we need to take note that our sons will, one way or another, imitate us. And if we walk in evil, we will cause that example to be their pattern and their harvest in life. You see, sin is like weeds that spreads so quickly, and we might just sow a little, but our children and others coming after us may well reap the harvest of those very sins. Such is the fertile soil of our children's sinful hearts. And those seeds are planted into little hearts, sometimes older hearts, if we have grown children. And those seeds that we are planting, they fall into their hearts, into their fertile, sinful, depraved hearts, and they flourish. And a few seeds soon become a thorny thicket and bring forth a harvest of evil. They're always easier to sow than they are to clear out, because sin multiplies. It multiplies in its essential nature. Sin multiplies. That's what a harvest is. A harvest is the seed multiplying. The Bible speaks about some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. It multiplies. If you go on to verse 23, you'll find here, and Ammon humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father. So he took his father's example in evil, but he didn't take his father's example in repentance. And Ammon trespassed more and more. There's the multiply. There's the harvest of the evil. And what his father did in small proportion, Ammon, when he came to the throne, he multiplied and brought forth a great harvest. And of course, sin multiplies because of its very nature, its essential nature. As children grow, and as their knowledge of good and evil grow, and as their capacity to do and enter into the things of this world, so does their ability to take those little seeds and bring forth a harvest of evil. And as a father, without the power of the gospel, you would become the sower of those seeds in their hearts and cause a harvest that you might not even at this hour anticipate. And you might say, but I'm living as good as I can. I'm doing this and this. I'm providing for my family. I seek to play with my children and be an example to them. Ah, an example of a man or a woman, if you're a mother, out of Christ, not saved, rejecting the Lord Jesus, saying that I can make it through life and perhaps eternity without a Savior. And you're giving that example to your own children, which if in God's mercy you become a Manasseh later in life, but your children remain as Ammons. What a foolish notion that you can take Manasseh and say, well, let me be like him. For the first part of my life, I'll live as I please. And then later on, I'll turn to God. Don't make that an excuse for rejecting the Lord Jesus and thumbing your nose at the mercies of God that are given to you daily at this time. Of course, sin multiplies in its ease of practice. It is the role of parents, of course, to lead their children away from evil. But when a father practices evil, He makes it easy for his son or daughter. He becomes the very justification for the practice of evil. And the earlier the children are introduced to the evil, the more natural it seems to them. Because people learn by doing. And because you are doing, they want to imitate you, and they do that at an early age, and they just grow into that natural core of a Christ rejecter's life. I can live without a Savior. And every day that you stay out of salvation, reject the Lord, you're giving the example that you can live a supposed wholesome life and not be a Christian. That's the harvest that Manasseh produced in the life of Ammon. Someone put it this way, watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits because they become character. And watch your character because it becomes your destiny. As a man is, as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you have the mind, I don't need a Savior, that's the example that you are setting forth. And you say, but these are just little things. These are just little seeds. The problem is, they are like seeds that multiply and bring forth a dreadful harvest. I think a bank robber and a murderer starts out with little sin. Things that he gets away with. Just a little pilfering here, a little bullying there. Maybe just a few groceries or a few dollars. But then greed enters in and greater evil is pursued. And as one person gets away with little things, the heart becomes hardened and they take on greater evil without a pricked conscience, without any consideration of the great evil that they're doing. You see, sin is deceitful. Hebrews 3:13, it says that, be not deceived of the deceitfulness of sin. It is deceitful. Sin's progression, it's one of its characteristics, is to conceal its progression. In the Psalm 1, you have the example of the man, the blessed man, who said that he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So that's the first step, to walk with the ungodly. Then the second is to stand with them. And then thirdly, to sit down with them. There's always this progression of evil in a person's life. And when you live contentedly and happily in a degree of evil, it will give it the propensity, give it the very fertile soil to produce a greater harvest at a later stage. We're told of Lot that he just pitched his tent towards Sodom. He had no intention at the beginning of actually going there or dwelling amongst the wicked Sodomites. But it wasn't long until he, due to external dangers, fled into the city. No intention of staying for long, just until the immediate danger was over, and then settled down to dwell amongst them, became a leader sitting at the gate, a mayor or a counselor, one of the leaders of the city. There he lost his family. His sons-in-law mocked him when he warned of the danger that was coming at the destruction of the city. Eve, she heard the devil's lie, and then she believed the devil's lie, and then she obeyed the devil's lie. If you allow sin in seed form, you will sooner or later bring forth a harvest. The prodigal son, when he asked his father for that portion that was his to leave home and to go to the far country, he had no realization that he would end up in want and fain would feast with the swine troughs. The prodigal starts out with a frame of mind. His thoughts wandered long before his feet wandered. And then his money disappeared. and he began to be in want. Same happened to Peter. He just wanted to go and warm himself at the fire. At first he just wanted to listen in to the conversations. And then he got sucked into great denial and blasphemy against the Lord Jesus. I warn any here today that you're playing with the seeds of sin. It will bring forth an evil harvest in your life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We could add to the list all kinds of evils. But you'll notice here that Ammon became a hardened sinner. Ammon was a confirmed idolater. And all because his father showed him the way and made the idols for him. You see, father or mother, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer and your Savior, you're paving the way by your example for your children and those who look up to you. Maybe other family members, it may be friends, workers, neighbors. And they see your life and they say, well, here's a person who knows the Bible, goes to church, but it's not one of these born-again Christians that says that you need to be saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. Here is a person who has religion, but they don't really need Jesus. And they justify their Christ rejection by your Christ rejection. As Ammon did over and over and over because he did as his father. Let me ask you, if your children right now were to do and live as you do and live, what will the harvest be? Out of Christ, without a Savior, and every day a day of wrath and not a day of mercy? Oh, that you would see the folly of sowing seeds of evil that will bring forth an awful harvest of evil. Thirdly, Manasseh's life, his evil sowing, became a harvest of eternal destruction. In spite of the preaching of the prophets that came to Manasseh earlier, and the warnings that were given to Manasseh over many years, he little realized that his sin and the example he gave to others would bring forth an eternal harvest at the judgment day. And this is really difficult to bear thinking of. There will be a resurrection day when all created men, women, boys and girls, souls in this world will stand at the great judgment seat. And I can see Manasseh there. And on that judgment day there will be accusations about a man who lived for many years in great wickedness. But the blood of Jesus will appeal and appear and speak for Manasseh. This man has trusted in the atoning blood of Jesus. He is washed. He is justified. He deserves to be glorified. There in that crowd in the judgment day is Ammon, his own son, who bowed down at the very same idols that his father carved with his own hands or commissioned to be carved. And Ammon, accusations and charges of idolatry are brought against him. But there is no Savior, no redeeming blood, no mercy for Ammon. And the anomaly appears this, that the man who made the idols is in heaven. The man who followed the example of the idol is condemned at the judgment day. What's the difference? What makes the difference? God's mercy. Manasseh entreated the Lord for mercy and found mercy. But Manasseh could not change the heart of his own sin. Left to his own evil, wicked ways. Ammon, of course, at the judgment day would be guilty of breaking so many of the commandments. The commandment of thou shalt have no other gods before me. The commandment thou shalt not make unto thee any likeness. Ammon did all of that. And then, of course, he took the Lord's name in vain when he adored the names of heathen gods. They also broke the commandment of honoring his parents, because a son that follows his parents in evil is not honoring them. That's again the strange thing. And young people today, if perhaps your parents are not saved, if perhaps they insist in going the way of wickedness, and you say, but I've got to honor my parents, and I realize you're in a difficult, difficult situation, living under their roof, and they are walking the way of the world, and you have found mercy and realize the mercy of the gospel and know that you need to turn to serve the Lord. And on one hand, you're to honor parents, but you never honor your parents by copying their sins. Oh, these are strange, hard things to think about and dwell upon. And father or mother out of Christ, insisting that you walk a Christ rejecter's life, you are putting your children in a very difficult situation. Are they going to be loyal to you or to a merciful God? Ammon obviously sold himself out to follow his father in evil. Oh, the eternal harvest of a father, causing his own children to walk in the way of sin. At the judgment day, then also in torment of conscience for all eternity. There is no such thing as forgetting in eternity. Memories in eternity are quick and sharp, focused on every practice of earth. There is no such thing as time healing. It is the torment of a guilty conscience that he is condemned to remember and be faced with his wicked ways forever and ever. Then also in the pains of eternal fire. The rich man, we read of in Luke 16, lifted up his eyes in torment, while the other man, the poor man who lived, dwelt at his gate, Lazarus, was in Abram's bosom. The rich man was in a place of torment where he cried out for water to cool his tongue. But no water was given. There was no relief. There could be no deliverance because there was a great gulf fixed, that there was no passing from the rich man to where Lazarus lived with Abram. And Father, think about this now. Think about this seriously. The seeds of sin that you're sowing today to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season will bring forth an eternal harvest of misery. And if by God's great mercy you were to turn later in life and be saved, the seeds of sin that you're sowing today will have an eternal harvest in the lives of others. Oh, God forbid that we, in time, could cause others to reap eternal torment in an endless Christ rejector's hell. Now let us be very clear. I don't want you to get names mixed up. I don't want you to get realities mixed up here. Manasseh was the father. He lived for many years doing that which was worse than the heathen. God sent messengers and prophets to him. He wouldn't listen. But God raised up an army who arrested him among the thorns and took him to Babylon. And while he was in affliction, he humbled himself greatly. And the Lord was entreated of him. The Lord heard his cries for mercy. He was saved. He had a testimony later that he went back to Jerusalem, reinstated in the kingdom, and he lived a different man. He commanded that walls should be built to protect the city, that the other city should be fortified, and that the people in Judah should worship the true God. But his son Ammon, who when his father died, we do not know the date or the time of his actual conversion, but when his father died, was 12 years old. He was only a young boy. But the seeds of sin were sown, and Ammon lived all his days following not the example of his father seeking mercy, but his father worshipping heathen gods and defying the God of heaven. You'll notice that the burial of Ammon was very different. It says of Manasseh that they buried him in the city. They gave honor to him. But when Amon was buried, there was no such record of honor given to him. His servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. That's the legacy of Amon's life. To this last day, he lived wickedly. Died without any hint of a conversion. He's a lost soul in hell. Naturally speaking, his father taught him to sin and brought about his destruction. But in great mercy, his father was saved. Now, if we be true Christians today, if we really love the Lord with all our hearts, there's not a parent here that will say, well, as long as I get saved, doesn't matter about anybody else. See, the Bible says that no man lives unto himself. And your daily walk and your daily example will sow seeds that will reap a harvest one day, if not in your life, in others. You need to be warned today to flee to the cross, to seek the mercy that is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Don't play the fool with your own soul. In turning to the Lord, and this is the positive side now, if you heed the warning, if you will take note of this awful example here, if you turn to the Lord, you will begin to sow seeds of grace, seeds of mercy, seeds that will make you a fingerpost, at least from this day forward, whatever your life has been. From this day forward, you become a fingerpost to the mercies of God, to the goodness of God, to the cross of Calvary. And you will say, I am delivered from that way of sin because Jesus died for me and washed me in his blood. And remember that you always sow and reap in likeness. You don't sow corn and reap beans. What you sow, you reap. As the seed, sow the grain. As the sowing, sow the reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And therefore today, to begin to sow good seeds, whether you're younger or older, to begin today to live for the Lord Jesus and to have him in your heart is the beginning of sowing good seeds. Because your heart is a seedbed. And the Lord Jesus said that you need a new heart. You need to be born again. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. It's a very cockroach's nest of evil. And some more flagrantly, some more openly, some more privately. They all sow the sins of an unconverted heart that needs to be changed, needs to be regenerate. The Lord says to you today, ye must be born again. And by a new birth, by accepting the Lord as your Savior and him dwelling in you, you begin a new life, a new walk, a new talk. Your sons or daughters were to follow your footsteps today. Where is it leading them? Where is it leading them? I trust that this harvest, Thanksgiving Sunday, you heed the warnings of the Scriptures and the Lord himself. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you a praying man? Praying woman? Are you courting the world? Or separate from the world? Are you seeking to live as near to the world as you can? Or are you trying to get away from the world where you can? Unfortunately, we're in the world. We're not of it, but we're in it. We can't be free from the world around us completely. But we can seek to walk apart from it. That we may sow seeds of righteousness. Seeds of Christ-likeness. That's what our children need. And I beg with you today to do not live on and for some foolish reason take Manasseh as an excuse. Well, he lived all those years and went to heaven. He lived all those years without Christ, sinned worse than the heathen, and still went to heaven. That's what I'll do. Just think of the harvest that was in Manasseh's family. And as you read on, the harvest that was in the nation. The nation went down. Oh, today, that you would take heed. Go to the cross ask for a new heart. Get right with God. Be saved. I'll be glad to help you after the service. If you're a visitor here today, we have a booklet we want to give you. It's called A New Beginning. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. If I can be of any personal help, feel free to speak to us immediately after the service.